If you have your Bible this morning, please turn to the 24th chapter of the book of Luke. This is not going to be our text this morning, but it goes very well with our text. The scripture talks here about the crucifixion, the death, the life, and the burial of our Lord and Savior in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was getting close to sundown on Friday afternoon, and the Sabbath began at sundown. And they took the body of Jesus off the cross. They took him to the tomb, and the women, and they didn't have time to anoint the body and put the spices on it. But they closed the tomb up, and they was planning on coming back on Sunday morning to anoint the body with spices and oils. And this piece of scripture right here, as I said, it's not our text, but it goes very well with our text. Beginning in the first verse of chapter 24, it says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed, or about, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remembering how he spoke unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered unto the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to be them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondered in himself at that which was come to pass." Scripture here, he talks about the crucifixion, the terrible death that our Christ had to go through, the burial and the resurrection of Christ. It's in chapter 23 and 24 here. And as I said, it was close to sundown, and they didn't have time to prepare the body. So they took him to a borrowed tomb and put him in the tomb, and they were going to come back on Sunday morning and to anoint the body and to put spices on the body. And if you would now, I would like for you to turn to our text, which is going to be Acts chapter 12. Beginning in verse 7. I told you wrong. Acts 4:7. I'm sorry. Acts 4:7. Peter and John, after the resurrection of Jesus, they had been given special powers by Jesus to raise the dead, to heal the sick, to take care of the poor, and the Sanhedrin and the religious people that day, they didn't like anything that he had to say. and they didn't like Jesus, and they was trying to find ways of putting him to death. And it says here in the 7th verse of chapter 4, "And when they had set them up in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this?" What they done, they had healed a lame man, and they'd made him well, and they had done it in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that's what they didn't like about it. And then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, he said unto them, "You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, listen to this, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner." In verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." As I said, he had given the apostles special powers. People don't have those powers today. Some of them think that they do, but they don't. They were only 12 apostles. And he gave them special powers to heal the sick. And in all the days of Jesus' life, when he was here before, and even up to today, there's always controversy about who this is. And what we want to look at today, we want to see what God's Word says about this God-man, Jesus Christ. In Matthew 28:18, God's Word said, and Jesus came and he spoke unto his disciples, and listen to this, Jesus himself said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." That covers a lot of territory, don't it? But he said, "All power is given to me and in heaven and earth." We must realize that God is sovereign in creation. He's sovereign in providence. He's sovereign in salvation. And there's nothing that happens without the permissive or the directive will of God, regardless of what it is in this world and the way that man may look at it. It's all for the glory of God and for the good of his people. We'll look at verse 7 again. And it says, "And when they had set them up in the midst, they asked, by what power do you, by what name have you done this? And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he was made whole, listen to this, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel, but by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom he says, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. Isaiah 53 says, who hath believed our report, and who is the arm of the Lord revealed? If you would take a minute, hold your place, and turn to John 10. And we're going to look at what God, what the Word of God says about our Lord Jesus Christ. Beginning in verse 10, or chapter 10, verse 14, he says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. He's talking about the elect of God, those that God placed in him before the foundation of the world. As the Father knoweth me, even so I with the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. No one took his life, he laid it down. And every sheep I have, which are not of this fold, and that's me and you folks, that's the Gentiles, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one foe and one shepherd. Wherefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. And listen to this. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. One of the miracles of the gospel is that God was manifested in the flesh. Paul said and Ephesians 6, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that the utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. What is one of the mysteries of the gospel? If you would, look at Matthew 1. And we're talking about the Jesus of the Bible, what God says about him. Beginning in verse 20, while Joseph was thinking on these things, an angel of the Lord coming to him. It says here in verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for what shall he do? He shall save his people from their sins. He don't say the whole world. He says his people. God has a particular people. They're called the bride of Christ that he chose for the foundation of the world. And it says, and now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. We thank the Lord for that. We go back to our text in Acts 4. It says here, John 17:3, it says, and this is eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast crucified. And then in Philippians, if you will, look at Philippians 2. This is God the Father speaking of his Son in Philippians 2. And this brings peace to our hearts, knowing who our Savior is. He is God manifested in the flesh. But in Acts 2, verses 6 through 11, he says here of Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. And what did he do? He became obedient unto the cross. His perfect obedience is our righteousness, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, and that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. If you will, let's look at Ephesians 2. Verses 13 through 20. It says, but now, in Christ Jesus, he is such a blessing to us. But now, ye, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometime afar off are made nigh. How are we made nigh? Only by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished us in his flesh, the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God into one body by the cross, having slain the enmity whereby, and come and preach peace to you that were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore we are no longer, we are no more strangers and foreigners, but we are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And as we look at the building, let's look at who the chief cornerstone is. And he says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, but Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. We'll go back to our text. You know, why is there salvation in no other name under heaven among men? There's salvation in no other among men because God requires perfection. And, you know, we've been looking at Jesus Christ and how he is God manifested in the flesh and how he is perfect in all of his ways. We're going to look a little bit about what God says about man. In Romans 3, it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. You know, a person may say, well, you know, I'm not that bad. I'm pretty good, you know. But usually he's comparing himself with another man. I know we're turning a lot, but we need to. Let's look at Mark 7 and see what God says about man. Mark 7, verse 20. Mark 7, verse 20. And there's not a person that has been chosen by God that is one of God's elect that does not know that he is filled with sin. He says here, and he said in verse 20, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thieves, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. And all of these evil things come from within, and they defile the man. Isaiah 64:6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. And then Nahum 3 says, the Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and he will not at all acquit the wicked. So we have to ask ourselves, what happens to a man when he sins against a sovereign, holy, righteous God? Let's look at James 1, verse 13. James 1, verse 13. We like to make up excuses, but there is no excuse. And the reason there is no excuse, it says right here, let no man say that when he is tempted, that I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. So how can a holy God deal with man in justice and in mercy at the same time? If you will, look at Romans 3. And this is the word of God, the absolute truth of God. Look at Romans 3, verse 19. And listen to it carefully. And this is speaking of Jesus Christ our Lord. It says, now we know that things whatsoever the law saith, but it said to them who are under the law, but every mouth may be stopped, and that all the world may become guilty before God. Listen to this. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Salvation is by grace alone. And by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all, that all them that believe, for there is no different. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely, how? By his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, a mercy seat, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. God's law has to be honored. His justice has to be honored. We'll look at Ephesians 1, verse 3. Three through seven. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. It's always in Christ. There is no promises of God outside of Christ. There is no blessings of God. There is no gifts of God outside of Christ. There is no love of God outside of Christ. It's all in Christ. That's why the Bible says that neither is there salvation in any other. But according as he hath chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. It's such a blessing. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man can boast. Not at all. It's a gift of God, and we thank him for that. What is the object of saving faith? I think we all know that. It's to look to Christ. I had an old preacher say one time, he said, yesterday I looked to Christ, today I'm looking to Christ, tomorrow I'm looking to Christ, and when I leave this world, I'm going to be looking to Christ. But we need to rest in him, trust in him, and he is so precious to us, and he is our all. The salvation of our souls is a work, and we know this, the salvation of our souls is a work of God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. No man can explain the Trinity, but the Lord our God is one God. The Bible clearly declares that there are three that bear record in heaven. And that's in 1 John. It says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. I know that the salvation of our soul, the redemption of our soul, is a work of the Father who chose us, the Son who purchased our redemption by his blood, and the Holy Spirit who applies that redemption in saving faith. But yet, the first immediate object of a sinner's faith is Jesus Christ our Lord. God's Word says in 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in him, speaking of Jesus, are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God. 1 John 5:11 and 12, it says, and this is a record that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. And there's another place to say that he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son, the wrath of God abideth on him. But one cannot know the Father except he knows the Son. You know, there's so many people in this world, they pray to the Father, but they won't accept the Son. But the Word of God, which is absolute truth, plainly says in John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, not a way, but he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's no other way. John 5:23, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which sent him. And then one cannot really go to the throne of grace except through the Son. You can't go to God without a priest. Well, who is our great high priest? Hebrews 4:14 through 16, the Word of God. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest passed unto the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come before the throne of grace boldly, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Saving faith, it believes Christ. Saving faith that trusts in Christ. Saving faith that looks to Christ each and every day of our lives. We need each step of the way, each moment of the day. When a man reveals that, whenever a man discovers that he has nothing to offer to Christ, and we don't have nothing. The only thing we have is sin. We have nothing to offer to Christ. And if God will draw him to him, then Christ will save him. The Bible says that God's word in the book of 1 Timothy, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man. Man and God is at war, and we need a mediator, and there's only one, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord. In the book of John, our Lord Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. One last scripture that I'd like to look at before we finish, and that is John 20. And I can't imagine, it's blessed my heart so much, whenever one day we are going to look at Christ in the face. But John 1:20, verse 25. John 20, verse 25. Jesus had already ascended up. He'd come back to earth. He'd been back for a few times. All the other disciples had seen him, but Thomas hadn't seen him. And Thomas told his disciples, he said, I won't believe unless I see him. In verse 25, it says here in God's word, the other disciples were therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But Thomas said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I'm not going to believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then come Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Jesus said, peace be unto you. Think about this right here. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold thy hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And I love the answer to what Thomas said right here. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me and hast believed, blessed are they which have not seen me, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. And listen to this. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. That is why neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And we have so much to be thankful for. May the Lord bless us with these words. And may he be glorified. And may our hearts rejoice. I'm finished.